born at 24 weeks and weighing just over 1 pound. Little Timmy Kelly's premature birth, having fun and helping kids.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, and I've been watching the Roberts nomination hearings, as I'm sure many of you have. And it's very interesting. I think I'm less concerned about violations of the right to privacy, though I'm still concerned about that. Roberts was giving a few tea leaves, suggesting he would protect that right, including perhaps a woman's right to choose. But it's not clear. But I'm a little less concerned about that than his support of presidential power. It may well be that George Bush isn't so much focused on pro-life. I would think that Karl Rove, for example, who controls a lot of the Bush agenda, wouldn't want to see Roe v. Wade overturned because then support for Republicans would plummet. The majority of Americans are pro-choice. But one thing that Rove and Cheney want a lot of is presidential power. They want presidential power at the expense of Congress. And so it was interesting to me to explore not just Roberts' views on abortion and so forth, which I will play later on in the hour, but specifically his views on presidential power, which haven't gotten a lot of press. And in this exchange I'm going to play that took today with Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, I believe I may have an inside scoop for you. Now, I haven't confirmed this yet, but my sources are telling me that Roberts may have played a role in the Iran-Contra affair. Let me go over the situation. You may remember, you may not, way back in 1986, 20 years ago or so, when Ronald Reagan wanted to aid the Contras. They were a group trying to overthrow the Nicaraguan government. And Congress had enough. They didn't want aid to the Contras, and they passed a law with an amendment attached called the Boland Amendment, after the congressman who made the amendment. And the Boland Amendment prohibited any further money going to the Contras. It prohibited the United States from continuing to fight against Nicaragua. And the president signed it actually into law. It was part of a larger bill, and the president didn't feel he could veto it. There was a Democratic Congress. He signed it into law. So it was forbidden for the United States at that time to intervene in Nicaragua. But the president, or at least I should say his administration, funded the Contras anyway in direct violation of the law, which some argued should lead to impeachment. Reagan admitted he made a mistake. There was a huge investigation, and that was kind of the main scandal of the late Reagan era. Now, I want you to listen closely to this testimony by Roberts, because he denies really any role in this to Dianne Feinstein. And what I hope to bring next time I come on air is a memo showing he's wrong. Can't do that quite yet, but listen closely, because I want to be the first to break this story. Listen closely to his testimony with Dianne Feinstein.
A number of people on our side are very concerned about executive power and what we perceive, either rightly or wrongly, to be a greatly expanded executive authority in recent years, causing enormous concern in a number of different ways. Let me go back into your past. In trying to get Senate documents, one of the documents withheld was a draft memo titled Establishment of NHAQ, the Nicaraguan Humanitarian Assistance Office. This office was used by President Reagan to give aid to the Nicaraguan Contras following the passage of the Boland Amendment. And that was a prohibition on providing funding to the Contras. What involvement did you have with the Nicaraguan Humanitarian Assistance Office?
I'm not familiar with the memorandum. If it was withheld, it was probably withheld from me as well, and I don't recall any involvement. So, I do know that there was an issue was raised. I have seen memoranda that I know have been released about private fundraising activities, and I do know that I gave advice in order to make sure that they didn't engage in lobbying activities in order to be consistent with the Boland Amendment. I've seen those, but beyond that, I'm not recalling anything.
Do you believe that the administration's provision of funds to the Contras exceeded the executive's power in light of the Boland Amendment's prohibition on funding the Contras?
You know, it's not something I just sort of know what I read in the papers about it. It seemed to me that it did. But again, that's just based on, it's not based on a study or a legal analysis.
It's a pretty simple question. When the Congress passes a law that says don't fund, and the executive finds a covert way to fund, and as you know, one of the great redeeming qualities of President Reagan was that he did an admission of wrongdoing. And I think the American people accepted that. He was able to admit a mistake, which I tend to think, it's hard to do in this arena. But in a way, it's a sign of a big person to be able to come forward and say, I was wrong. So it's on its face, what you're saying, if I understand you, you do believe that the provision of funds exceeded the executive power.
I'm going to stop right there. We will be right back after the break to see his answer to Dianne Feinstein's question. Again, he denies any involvement in it, and we may have a memo that proves it to the contrary. We'll be right back after this.
Credit card debt getting too heavy for you to carry alone? Call Debt Relief of America. They are expert debt negotiators that go to work for you to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt.
Within 3 months, I was debt-free and the collection hassle stopped.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
My wife and I both feel Debt Relief of America is a godsend.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. You will get a step-by-step plan on how Debt Relief of America can help you wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call could literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas. Is there a right time and a wrong time to do it?
Come on, huh? I'm trying to eat.
When indoors in the company of others, passing gas is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Every year, hundreds of infants exposed to past gas die.
What? I cracked a window?
And just opening a window isn't enough. These deadly fumes can linger in the room for hours after odors have dissipated.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm trying to break an inside scoop here, which is from what my source tells me, someone who's been reviewing the memos that Roberts wrote, that actually he was involved in funding the Nicaraguan Contras in violation of the law, in violation of the Boland Amendment. I'm just learning about this story. I'm reporting it to you as I learn about it. Dianne Feinstein, Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, was asking Judge Roberts about that today, and he had no recollection of it. No recollection of it whatsoever. I may play that for you again. But she does ask him, well, is it a violation if the president acts funding a war that Congress says that can't be funded? Let's hear what he responds.
No question, then. If an executive exercises power in direct violation of an act of Congress, is such an act unconstitutional?
Well, the answer depends, Senator, and this is where you get back to the Youngstown analysis, where Justice Jackson said there are three categories. You can act with Congress's support.
Let me cut him off here and explain the Youngstown analysis. It is a standard legal analysis. This judge definitely knows his stuff. The Youngstown analysis came out of a steel seizure case where Harry Truman took over some steel plants. And basically it talks about, in general, that, if Congress acts, if the president acts with Congress's approval, he's got a broad range of activity. If it's ambiguous, he has less. And if he acts in the absence of Congress approval, his power is at his weakest. But he may still have that power. For example, the pardon clause under the Constitution clearly belongs to the president. He can do that notwithstanding what Congress wrote. He did not, though, get more specific on the issue of the Boland Amendment, the cutoff of aid to the Contras, which we've played it earlier, which he says he knew nothing about. All right? Now, here's what we find in Roberts' files. First of all, Congress cuts off aid to the Nicaraguan rebels. Okay? And then he meets with Oliver North and with Poindexter. And in Roberts' records is a memo he wrote. The initials are right there, JGR. Dated August 28, 1985, giving the okay for the establishment of the NHAO. That's the same thing that Feinstein was asking about. Establishing the NHAO, supposedly for humanitarian activities to help the Nicaraguan Contras. But the law was clear. The law said that no money can be expended. In fact, I will read it to you. It says that during fiscal year 1985, no funds are available to the Central Intelligence Agency, the Department of Defense, or any other agency or entity of the United States involved in intelligence activities may be obligated or expended for the purpose or which would have the effect of supporting directly or indirectly military or paramilitary operations in Nicaragua by any nation, group, organization, movement, or individual. It's pretty strong. No entity of the United States involved in intelligence activities. Maybe that's his out, that it wasn't involved in intelligence activities, but clearly what he was doing was trying to subvert the will of Congress. I think this may become a big story, and that's why I want to report it to you first here on the Inside Scoop. There's a lot more, though, to talk about today, and I want to get to it all. I want to get to specifically the questioning by Pat Leahy on executive power, on presidential power, on specifically whether or not, since Congress has the right to declare war, Congress has the right to end hostilities. And he goes back to a memo that Roberts wrote in the Reagan age. And we'll be right back with that exchange right after these messages.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. Law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series. 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. E. Mord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CDs
has been strained to its limits by presidents claiming power way beyond what was actually almost imperial powers. So let's focus this down a little bit more on presidential power.
Let's 37331. Call today.
Say, do you or a member of your family suffer from acne? Do you take prescription drugs and get little or no relief? Is your skin always dry and itching and peeling due to the side effects of chemicals and drugs? Do You have trouble looking in the mirror and being happy with what you see. Do you avoid going out in the world due to your acne? Are you spending ridiculous amounts of money with little or no results? Well, you may find relief. Relief is available to most sufferers online at healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at HealthStar Products, H-E-A-L-T-H, HealthStarProducts.com. Go to www.HealthStarProducts.com and find out about the acne program. Find out if it works for you or a member of your family. If it doesn't, you get your money back.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're going over Judge Roberts' nomination and what I believe from my sources, and they're pretty reliable sources, that Roberts may have been involved in aiding the Nicaraguan Contras at a time when Congress had said stop aiding them. Now, I'm not saying he was leading the charge, or that, you know, I mean, he wasn't Oliver North. He wasn't down there, you know, running guns. What I guess I'm saying is this is a guy who failed to say to the President of the United States, when he's working for the President, hey, Mr. President, you may be violating the law here. And I think it's an obligation of a lawyer, even when you're working for a client, even when that client is the President of the United States, to advise a client, hey, you cannot break the law. Again, the story's just coming out. I hope I'm the first to break it, and I'm going to definitely get more confirmation and talk about this in the future. Let me move on, though, because I think, again, with presidential power is the place that I'm most concerned with Judge Roberts. I mean, he seems like an affable man. He seems like he will recognize precedents, at least he claims to, and I don't know how to not take him at his word. But when it comes to presidential power, I am concerned. Remember, this is the guy who felt that the Bush trials in Guantanamo Bay were perfectly fair trials, something that obviously I'm skeptical about. This, let me draw you now to a conversation that he had with Pat Leahy, the Democratic senator from Vermont, the ranking member on the committee, when he asked him about congressional power to declare war, specifically about congressional power to stop a war. You see, Roberts had written on a memo relating to the involvement of U.S. troops in Lebanon in the Reagan era. And he'd written on that memo, and there was a question about a law that would define pension benefits. But it would define it based on the end of hostilities in Lebanon, which Congress wanted to define. And Roberts, as the lawyer for the president, was loath to let Congress decide when a war could end. Let's listen in.
And you wrote that the difficulty with such a bill is that it recognizes a role for Congress in terminating the Lebanon operation. And you wrote further, quote, I do not think we would want to concede any definite role for Congress in terminating the Lebanon operation, even by joint resolution presented to the president. And then you explained even parenthetically that even if the president vetoed such a joint resolution, of course, Congress could override it by a two-thirds majority. I find that troubling. I'll tell you why. Before I read your memo, I thought that everybody agreed there'd be only one answer to the question of whether Congress could stop a war. Your memo suggested Congress is powerless to stop a president who is going to conduct an unauthorized war. I really find that extremely hard to follow, and I imagine most Americans would. I'll give you a hypothetical. Congress passes a law, and for all U.S. forces to be withdrawn from the territory of a foreign nation by a set date. The president vetoes the law. The Congress overrides that and sets into law, you must withdraw by a certain date. Now, is there any question in your mind that the president would be bound to faithfully execute that law?
Well, Senator, I don't want to answer a particular hypothetical that could come before the court, But I'm happy to comment on the memorandum that you're discussing.
Oh, no, wait a minute. That's a hypothetical. I mean, isn't this kind of Hornbook law? If the
Let me just intervene. Hornbook law means law that really no one can dispute. A hornbook is a legal book, and meaning that isn't this obvious that it, you know, Congress can declare war, Congress can stop a war. Isn't this hornbook? Isn't this obvious? Isn't this something? And Roberts is saying, no, it's not. It may come before me. I may well find that Congress can not have power to stop a war. That once Congress puts a war in place, it can never be stopped. It can go on without end if that's what the president wants. That seems to be what Roberts is saying here, which is why Leahy is saying, well, wait a minute, isn't it obvious that Congress can stop a war? That's what Hornbook law means. Let's go back to it.
I don't know if any cases are coming before the court. I mean, this is kind of Hornbook. The Congress says to the president, you got to get out. And pass a law which is...
And that's the problem with C-SPAN. Just when you get to the heart of it, it has problems with the sound. But that's okay because it's about time to take a break anyway. But I do think it's important to understand that this is not just a question when you have a nominee, a judicial nominee. It's not just a question of right to privacy, as important as that is, or civil rights, as important as that are, as they are. But that the Supreme Court has to determine, they got to determine the battleground between the executive and the Congress, between the president and, you know, and the legislative branch. And when Roberts is saying, I'm not so sure that Congress can stop a war, it really makes you wonder about him. It makes you wonder about the kind of justice he would be. And so actually this, in many ways, was more troubling than some of the stuff I'm going to play when we come back from break, relating to the abortion issue. Let me see if I can get back the sound on this. It's always hard working with these sound folks, but I'm going to try again. Hang on. It's not working. All right. Well, tell you what. Let me go and play something from the abortion discussion that I do have ready to go. Let's try to get tell you what. Let me give out the phone numbers. It's 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255 if you want to call in. I do apologize. A lot of this sound has gotten from C-SPAN, and when you work with them like that, sometimes there's buffering, and that's just the way life is. But you can call in. You can also write on the blog. I know a lot of you like to communicate that way. Just comment at www.radioinsidescoop.com. Again, if you're just tuning in, I did break a story that I am confirming it now. My source tells me that there are memos, and that the memos say, they're Roberts memos, where he establishes funds for the NHIO, for the Nicaraguan Humanitarian Assistance Operation, and he doesn't note that Congress has forbidden aiding these people. And he does not just one memo, but two and three. In fact, Walsh, the special prosecutor in the Iran-Contra, found these entities to be illegal. Now, he's the special prosecutor here. And I would hope that even though this is just coming out now, that, people will start to focus on it. Why didn't Judge Roberts focus on the fact that Congress had prohibited these funds? It's a good question. Toll-free number 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back with more of the hearings right after this.
Do you think?
then was whether or not who should be determined.
To end hostilities.
Dispute between the legislative branch and the executive branch. It's the job, of course, of the judicial branch to resolve that dispute. Between the legislative branch and the executive branch, it's the job, of course, of the judicial branch to resolve that dispute.
But your position in this memo in President Reagan's office
Reducing the use of antibiotics in animal feed may lower the likelihood that bacteria will develop resistance to these life-saving drugs. Danish regulators banned the routine use of antibiotics in farm animals. The prevalence of drug-resistant bacteria infections in Danes has already dropped. This is Joe Graydon and the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am examining the hearings of the Roberts nomination, and one of the most troubling things I've found is his very strong deference to the executive branch. Now, Pat Leahy has just been asking Judge Roberts whether Congress has the power to end a war. Roberts wrote in a memo when he worked at the Reagan administration 23 years ago that that maybe they don't. And he argues it away. He says, you know what, I was a young lawyer then, and I was defending the president, and obviously I was defending my client, and a lawyer for the legislature, Congress, would feel differently. But I think some things really are hornbook. Some things really are clear. And one of them, I think, is the Congress's power not just to declare war, but also to end a war. Let me go back to the discussion, hopefully it's working now, between Senator Leahy and John Roberts.
But your position in this memo in President Reagan's office seemed to indicate that Congress does not have an ability to end hostilities.
With respect, Senator, you're vastly overreading the memorandum.
Tell me why.
Well, because it had nothing to do with terminating hostilities. It had to do with the eligibility for certain pension benefits. And the question then was whether or not who should be determining when the hostilities ceased or should cease. And there again, a lawyer for the executive branch, not a judge who would be considering the issue in an entirely different light, but a lawyer for the executive branch, a careful lawyer would say, there may be a problem there. Are we conceding anything by saying the legislature gets to determine when the hostilities end?
I don't think it's overreading it at all, as you suggest, to say when you write, I do not think we would want to concede any definitive role for Congress in terminating the Lebanon operation, even by joint resolution presented to the president.
Well, with respect,
you're,
Senator,
you're saying you don't want to concede any ability of the Congress to stop a war.
With respect, Senator, the memorandum is about legislation for, if I'm remembering it correctly, it was 20-some years ago, pension benefits or certain additional pay benefits. That's what it was about. And I suspect if you asked any lawyer for any president of any administration whether they wanted to concede that general principle or if, as careful lawyers, They would prefer that that provision were rewritten or not in there. I'm fairly confident, regardless of the administration, that a lawyer for the executive would take the same position. Now, I'm also fairly confident that one of your lawyers here in the Senate would take the opposite position.
Well, let me ask you this question. Does Congress have the power to declare war?
Of course. The Constitution specifically gives that power to Congress.
Does Congress then have the power to stop a war?
Congress certainly has the power of the purse, and that's the way, as you noted earlier, that Congress has typically exercised.
But we know we did that in the Bolin Amendment and the Reagan administration, as we found out in the sorry chapter of Iran-Contra, went around that, violated the law, worked with Iran, sold arms illegally to Iran. I think that's one of our the axis of evil today. And to continue the war, the Contra war in Central America. So the power of the purse, we've cut off money. The wars sometimes keep going. Do we have the power to terminate a war? We have the power to declare war. Do we have the power to terminate war?
Senator, that's a question that I don't think can be answered in the abstract. You need to know the particular circumstances and exactly what the facts are and what the legislation would be like. Because the argument on the other side, and as a judge, I would obviously be in a position of considering both arguments, the argument for the legislature and the argument for the executive. The argument on the executive side will rely on authority as commander-in-chief and whatever authorities derive from that.
Well,
so it's not something that can be answered in the abstract.
As you said, your answer is that you were just talking about the question of veterans' benefits and all after this. I would note that the memo you wrote wasn't entitled Veterans Benefits. It was entitled War Powers Problem. I don't think I overstate it. Now, let me ask you another question.
They move on to something else. But let's talk about the exchange that we've just heard here, because I think it's quite important. One, obviously it wasn't a memo on veterans' benefits. It was a memo on war powers. And what we have is Robert saying quite clearly that he's not sure whether Congress has a right to end a war. I mean, Leahy couldn't have been more explicit. Does Congress have the right to declare war? Yes, it's in the Constitution. Does Congress have a right to end a war? Well, no, it depends on the circumstance. What circumstances, Judge Roberts? When does Congress not have power to end a war? Remember, Congress passing a bill to end a war is not an easy thing to do. Either the president has to sign on, or they've got to get two-thirds of both houses to override the president's veto. That's not easy to do. And yet, even in that case, Congress can't end a war. And then what comes up, of course, is the Iran-Contra. Robert says, well, they can certainly cut off the purse. And Leahy says, yeah, they did that in the Reagan era, and the president went on anyway. Wouldn't it be interesting if these memos come to light, and I'm working to bring them to light, to show that Roberts helped the Reagan administration do precisely that? Let me go quickly to the phone lines, and then we'll come back and talk about, abortion, which is a big issue for Roberts. Let me go quickly to Dave from Northern California. Dave, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
I have to assume that anybody that Bush or his cabinet appoint to anything they appoint anybody to, it's going to be someone who's for their very rich little special interest with little or no concern for the rest of us. It's going to be somebody that's there to take away citizens' rights and to abuse executive powers. It's probably going to be somebody that's going to find a way to rule against Social Security wherever they can. That's, if it isn't Roberts, it's going to be somebody that's going to be that. I can't see it any other way. That's what his whole MO is.
Well, here's our problem. We really don't know. He's only has his memos from the Reagan era. His memos from the Bush era are being kept back. By the way, not only is this wrong precedent because other nominees have disclosed their memos and so forth in the past, but also it happens to be against the Presidential Records Act. Bush signed executive order in clear violation of a congressional law that says after 12 years, you got to disclose presidential records unless there is a a national security reason to keep it secret. And I don't think anyone can argue there's a national security reason to not tell us Roberts' views. But that's why they're going back 23 years. They're the only memos that they have. And Roberts, what he says, Dave, doesn't sound so bad. Now, I've played for you some of the worst stuff. I mean, the stuff on the war, frankly, is the worst thing that I could find. But when I come back from break, I'm going to be playing for you some of what he says on abortion. And in that, well, he doesn't talk much, but it really, it doesn't sound so bad. So the question is, what does the president know that we don't know? What does Rove and Cheney know that we don't know? Maybe, as Dave seems to think, they know some you know, awful stuff about Roberts that he's going to put down our throats, and he'll be a stealth judge. But, Dave, I have this strange optimistic hope, and you may think I'm crazily naive, but that he could turn out like Justice Souter, who also had a very sparse record before George Bush Sr. appointed him on the court, and then he turned out to be a fairly reliable moderate rather than a right-wing conservative. I don't know, Dave, and I'm not quite sure how we find out, but I'll tell you.
If he turns out to be decent, and even in the slightest sense, he'll come as a real surprise to the White House. We got a snake that's rotting from the head down, you know, and don't expect anything good. We got a lousy president, vice president, and cabinet.
Well,
that's the reality.
That's true. I'll tell you this, though. I still haven't decided my view on Roberts, and I'm still listening to all the hearings because I'm remembering who he's replacing. He's replacing Chief Justice Rehnquist.
Hard to get worse than that.
Exactly. So he actually, if he is only 90% as bad as Chief Justice Rehnquist, he'll actually move the court in a more favorable way. So maybe for that reason, I'd support the guy. I don't know. I'll be right back, though. Thanks for your call, Dave.
Thank you.
If you want to call in, 877-528-TALK. When we come back, I want to play some of what most of America was focusing about, and that is the debate on a woman's right to choose whether or not to have an abortion. We'll be right back after this.
If you have more than $7,500 in credit card debt, listen to these shocking facts. Debt can ruin your life. A great number of all marriages end in divorce due to financial problems. Many American families are only a few paychecks away from bankruptcy. There are secret programs that credit card companies don't want you to know about that will eliminate your debt. If you are drowning in credit card debt, there is a way out. Debt Relief of America can negotiate directly with your creditors to eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt. Learn how to avoid bankruptcy and get more cash in your pocket. Call Debt Relief of America for a free debt analysis by one of their debt relief specialists. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-936-1264. 800-936-1264. For your free information, call now. 800-936-1264. 800-936-1264.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series. 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
Confirmation hearing for Circuit Court.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Obviously, it's not just a question of presidential power. There are many, many issues going on. That happens to be the one I focused on, mainly because, well, I'm supposed to give you the news the government doesn't want you to know, and a lot of people aren't focusing on Roberts in the way that he might help the president get more power. And I'm not so sure that for George Bush or for the people who run him, Cheney and Rove, they don't care more about presidential power than they do about the issue of abortion. But everyone was focusing on abortion, so I guess I'm obligated to do the same and to play for you a couple of exchanges. One between Arlen Specter, Republican of Pennsylvania, a Republican, but one who is pro-choice, and he asked questions to Roberts on the issue of abortion, and specifically on the issue of stare decisis, and that is whether a judicial nominee, or specifically a Supreme Court justice, should respect settled precedent. Let's listen in.
Judge Roberts, in your confirmation hearing for Circuit Court, your testimony read to this effect, and it's been widely quoted. Roe is the settled law of the land. Do you mean settled for you, settled only for your capacity as a circuit judge, or settled beyond that?
Well, beyond that, it's settled as a precedent of the court, entitled to respect under principles of stare decisis. And those principles, applied in the Casey case, explain when cases should be revisited and when they should not. And it is settled as a precedent of the court, yes.
You went on then to say, quote, it's a little more than settled. It was reaffirmed in the face of a challenge that it should be overruled in the Casey decision. So it has that added precedential value.
I think the initial question, the judge confronting an issue in this area, you don't go straight to the Roe decision. You begin with Casey, which modified the Roe framework and reaffirmed its central holding.
And you went on to say, accordingly, it is a settled law of the land, using the term settled again. Then your final statement is to this quotation, there is nothing in my personal views that would prevent me from fully and faithfully applying the precedent as well as Casey.
Well, now that's interesting. Obviously, at the time, what Specter's reading from, of course, is his nomination for district court. But it does sound like, for those that are very concerned on this issue, it sounds like he is saying it is settled law. Now, that doesn't mean you can't overturn settled law, but he goes on to talk about the fact that it depends on set expectations and so forth. It's kind of hard to find anything on the abortion issue, though we certainly have Joe Biden trying and trying hard. And this is a very interesting exchange because it goes back to the question of Justice Ginsburg, where the Republicans are saying, well, you know, she didn't answer some questions. But Biden points out that actually she did. Let's listen in.
It's protected substantively as well. The court subscribes to that proposition. If they agree with Bowling against Sharp, as I'm sure all of them do, they are subscribing to that proposition to some extent or another.
Do you think there's a liberty right of privacy that extends to women in the Constitution?
Certainly.
In the 14th Amendment?
Certainly.
Now, I assumed you'd answer it that way. Let me suggest to you also that I asked one of our colleagues asked Justice Ginsburg the question of whether or not it would be a ball or a strike if, in fact, a state passed a law, passed a law prohibiting abortion. And she said, that's a foul ball. They can't do that. And let me quote her. She said, in response to Senator Brown, when he was here, when she was up, of Colorado, she said, quote, abortion prohibition by a state controls women and denies them full autonomy and full equality with men. It would be unconstitutional. What's your view?
Well, Senator,
according to Ginsburg rule.
Well, that is in an area where I think I should not respond. Because,
why?
Because
you said you'd abide by the Ginsburg rule.
Judge Ginsburg, now Justice Ginsburg, explained that she thought she was at greater liberty to discuss her writings. She'd written extensively on that area, and I think that's why she felt at greater liberty to talk about those cases. In other areas where she had not written, her response was that it was inappropriate to comment. In particular, I remember her response on the Mayer and the Harris cases. She said, those are the court's precedents. I have no agenda to overrule them, and I will leave it at that. And I think that's important to adhere to that. Let me explain very briefly why. It's because if these questions come before me, either on the court on which I now sit or if I am confirmed on the Supreme Court, I need to decide those questions with an open mind on the basis of the arguments presented, on the basis of the record presented in the case, and on the basis of the rule of law, including the precedents of the court, and not on the basis of any commitments during the confirmation process. The litigants have a right to expect that of the judges or justices before whom they appear. And it's not just Judge Justice Ginsburg who adhered to that rule. I've gone back and read.
Well, she obviously didn't adhere to it.
Well, I explained why she felt at liberty to comment.
Well, how's that different? That, I would suggest, Judge, is a distinction without a difference in terms of litigants, the way you've just explained it. Does a litigant, in fact, said because the judge wrote about it and then spoke to it as a judge, that somehow I'm going to be put at a disadvantage before that judge in the court? That's a stretch, Judge.
Well, that's how Judge Ginsburg explained it at her nomination hearing.
We'll be back with more on Judge Roberts on abortion right after this.
Area that have the cases are pending before the court and likely will be pending in the future.
Well, let's try some things she didn't write about that she talked about.
An area that could come before the court. This is an area that have the cases are pending before the court and likely will be pending in the future.
Well, let's try some things she didn't.
Pending before the court and likely will be pending.
Roses say it best.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
Well, because Mother Nature wanted to match your pretty little eyes.
Nope, not even close. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more. So the human eye sees more of it than any other color. That's why the sky looks blue, Daddy.
Who in the world taught you that?
Mommy.
By sixth grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science. And in just a few short years, almost all of the jobs they want will depend on having these skills. So keep her interest alive any way you can.
Daddy, do you know why the concept of odd and even is a philosophical illusion?
Why don't you tell me?
For more information and ideas, visit www.girlsgotech.org. Remember, it's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Only have a few moments left. And we're going over, of course, the Roberts nomination hearings, and we're going to do a lot of it. This is important, folks. This is the Chief Justice of the United States. This is a man who at age 50 can affect justice for 40 years to come, most of our lifetimes. I'm going to be a pretty old man before Chief, if he's nominated and approved, which he probably will be, before he's no longer on the court. It's important to hear his analysis. Now, we just have heard from him that he doesn't want to comment because Justice Ginsburg didn't comment. I've heard that line before. In fact, a person calling themselves Judd Cryer has posted it all over my blog. But that's not true. As Biden points out in the next part, he already pointed out that Ginsburg spoke on abortion. But Robert says, well, abortion she wrote about. She already wrote about that. So that's why she was talking about that. So Biden brings up another case.
Future.
Well, let's try some things she didn't write about that she talked about. Let's see how you if you can talk about them. One is she talked about Moore versus East Cleveland. You're very familiar, much more familiar with the case than I am. That's a case where the city came along, and I'm going to do this shorthand in the interest of time, and said a grandmom living in an apartment with her blood grandchildren who were cousins but not brothers violated the law. And the chief said, in the minority opinion, your mentor, he said, the interest of that grandmother may have that grandmother may have in permanently sharing a single kitchen in a suite of contiguous rooms with some of her relatives simply does not rise to the level of a constitutional right. To equate this interest with fundamental decisions to marry and to bear and raise children is to extend the limited substantive contours of the Constitution beyond recognition. Do you agree with his statement?
You know, I have no quarrel with the majority's determination.
Not my question, Judge.
I understand that. And I'm concerned about ramifications in which the issue could come up. But I have no quarrel with the majority's determination.
Justice Ginsburg answered the question. She never wrote about it. She answered it specifically.
Well,
she went on to say that, and let me quote. She said, yes, he goes on, this is quoting Justice Ginsburg, he goes on to say, history counsel caution and restraint, and I agree with him. He says then, this is referring to the majority opinion, but it does not counsel abandonment of the notion that people have a right to certain fundamental decisions about their lives without interference with the state. And what he next says is, history doesn't counsel abandonment, nor does it require the city, does it require what the city is urging here? Cutting off the family right at the first boundary, which is the nuclear family. He rejects that. I'm taking the position I have for all the time. And she goes on to say, she says, she thinks your old boss was dead wrong. She said so. And she said the majority was dead right. Ginsburg rule. What do you think? She never wrote about it.
Senator, I think nominees have to draw the line where they're comfortable.
It's well, a matter of you're not applying to Ginsburg.
Senator Bartlett, let him finish.
I don't have much time. But go ahead.
It's a matter of great importance.
No, Judge Roberts did not apply the Ginsburg rule. So all those Republicans that claim, Judge Ginsburg didn't give us full information, no. She didn't say what she was going to do on every case that would come before her. But what she did do is she talked about past cases that had already come. She figured if she could give her view on cases that had already happened that could not come before her, because, folks, a case never pops up in exactly the same way again. It could not come before her. So she knew if she would explain her views on prior cases, like this case where she says that just because it's the grandmother and not the parents doesn't mean you can